We have an update, too, on the Texas Rangers caps. This is Sports Dirt. If you missed it yesterday, Major League Baseball for spring training is doing a series of caps where, for instance, they would write the word Yankees across the cap with an NY sort of in the middle of it, breaking up the word Yankees, the logo of the cap.
They combine the logos with the front of the jersey name, team name.
I think every year they try to come up with something new so people will buy it. So for spring training this year, so if you...
I think they call them overlay or overlap. Okay.
All right. So the Cardinals would have the word Cardinals, the logo from the jersey over top, and then that STL in the middle of it, where you probably wouldn't even see all the word Cardinals, but it's a mix.
Exactly.
So Texas, if the Rangers, their logo is a block T, and across their jersey is the word Texas. So when you see the hat, it has now T-E-T-A-S with the big block T in the middle, spelling out Tetas. Tetas is the Spanish word for titties. Okay? So what you've got there is a titty hat, okay? You've got people wearing hats, including Major League Baseball players, that say titties on it.
Evidently, no one who works for New Era speaks Spanish.
Correct. They didn't know. They didn't do their back check or whatever it might be. So the word titties in Spanish is written across this cap. Here's the update. Sales are through the roof.
Well, they pulled them from the store as quickly as they could.
Yeah, that's right. But
some got out.
Some are out. And so the hottest thing on the internet right now is a titty hat from Texas. They are going on eBay for as much as $800 to $900.
Crazy.
If you have one.
The Texas titties.
If you bought the Texas titty hat, you're in luck. You can sell this
thing. It is valuable.
They should make a mistake like this every. They should figure it out every year and go, all right, slip this one in and see what happens.
Well, the club's not getting any money on that.
It's just off the books.
Yeah.
You know, I guess Major League Baseball really screwed up because, well, the Rangers aren't getting much because they had to pull those hats
back
immediately. And I guess they're just wearing their regular hats and training everybody else.
Hey, Skip, we wearing our titties cap today?
No.
Okay.
Guys, keep the tit hats in the lockers. We're going regulation hat here today. Also, Sports Dirt, we had a death yesterday, unexpectedly. A phenomenal sports writer, John Feinstein, passed away at his brother's house. If you don't know John Feinstein, he's worked over the years for ESPN. He's worked for Sirius XM. He's done his own shows. He's written, I believe it's more than 40 books that he had written.
Right.
The one that really put him on the map was called Season on the Brink, where he got unlimited access almost to the Indiana Hoosiers in the late 80s. 86, 87 team, I believe, and they were really good, and Bob Knight was a controversial coach, and he let him have all this access, and so John Feinstein wrote this amazing book. I mean, critics absolutely loved it. Do you know John Feinstein?
I was not familiar with his work. I did a little research this morning, and Season on a Brink, I've seen the movie, didn't read the book. Love the movie.
Is that the one they made with...
Brian Dennehy.
Where he played Bob Knight.
Yes.
And was Shaq in the movie? No.
Not that I remember.
That's Blue Chips. He also wrote A Good Walk Spoiled, which is about golf. He was an incredible sports writer, and he died at only 69. No word on cause of death. Many think heart attack because it was so sudden like that. Here's something maybe you don't know, BBJ. He's been a guest on this show a couple of times.
Mm.
And here's the reason. Once he was in town to cover the ACC tournament, which he loved. This is the time of year he loved most. He had just, in fact, posted a story on Tom Izzo of the Michigan State Spartans, John Feinstein. And so one time several years ago, he was in here, and he needed to use our facilities to do his own radio show from somewhere else because he was in town covering the ACC tournament. And we had him on, so he talked with us and could not have been nicer.
Unbelievably generous with his time.
Phenomenal.
Happy to talk with us at length.
So... he gave us his phone number. He's like, guys, if you ever need me, you want to talk about whatever sport, just let me know. Couldn't have been more gracious. So a few years later, he wrote a book on Jim Valvano, Mike Krzyzewski, and Dean Smith and their relationship in ACC basketball. So I saw this was coming out on a Sunday afternoon, and I thought we should get John Feinstein back on via the phone and talk to him about the book. Now, this is like Sunday at noon. I just see the book's coming out. So I text John Feinstein, noted author, and say, hey, do you remember us? We'd love to interview you about the new book you've written about Dean Smith and Jim Valvano and Mike Krzyzewski. Of course, giants in college basketball for a time. And he texts me back and said, yeah, but the only day I've got is tomorrow, being Monday. And I said, perfect. We'll have you on, 8 a.m. Let's have you on. So he calls me and he says, okay, great. Really looking forward to being on. And he goes, you'll have time to read the book before the interview. Now, this is Sunday at 4 p.m. The interview is the next day at 8 a.m. I said, of course I will. Okay. I said, absolutely. I'll read the book before the interview because he wants you to be prepared. I guess he doesn't know the background of this show.
Despite spending time with it, he didn't realize.
He didn't realize. So we decide to interview him the next day at 8 o'clock, and I hung up the phone and raced.
Honey, I need my pants.
To Barnes & Noble. I put my pants on, and I raced to Barnes & Noble, find the book, buy the book, race back home, start reading the book, 5 o'clock. This is a 400-page book on Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Valvano, and Dean Smith. Three legendary coaches. Read. I mean,
Take note.
I stay up until 2 a.m. All right, I'm up all night reading this this manuscript from John Feinstein, the great author, because I didn't want to disappoint him. You know, he was that lofty.
He was so knowledgeable.
Right. He's that big of a name and that big of a guy. So we wanted to be prepared. I sketch out 20 or 25 questions to go for the book. I had it all down. You know, we have 20 minutes.
I'll ask this one here. No, I'll ask it here.
Right, exactly. So I have it all placed. You know, I put it on the grid. So we get John Feinstein on the next day. I ask 20 or 25 questions. He ho-hums his way along through them. I can tell he's been asked the questions, all of them, a million times. We have 45 seconds left in the interview. I've spent 10 hours staying up reading the book. Chris Dim says, if I can have one more moment of your time, let me ask one more question. And this is Chris Dim's question.
Hey, John, I've got a question. Over the years, when did the, because obviously you had amazing access to these men.
Yeah.
When did that sort of change in the college basketball atmosphere?
Yeah, it's a great question.
One question. And the noted, critically acclaimed writer says to Kristen, that's a great question. What do I get? Bupkis. Nothing.
Boilerplate, as we like to say.
That's right. That interview was 20 minutes. I talked for 19 minutes and 40 seconds. Chris Dibb says one thing. He says, that is a great question. That is so thought-provoking.
Oh, it's a shame our time is drawing to a close.
Our time is, who's this other idiot blathering on for 20 minutes? And
where have you been?
You know, you know, it was
nice to hear from somebody who at least read the book.
I shook my fist in rage.
And I hadn't.
No, he hadn't read the book. He had not read the book. Why? He didn't know what was happening. He didn't even know. I did that all on my own in 10 hours. Like, oh, we should interview him. And I went and raced and got the book. And Chris Dim spoke for 15 seconds. And John Feinstein said, in all my years, I've never heard.
Finally, someone asked.
How refreshing.
It was the same when we spoke with ZZ Top. I blathered on for 10 minutes. They couldn't have cared less. They were barely awake. Chris Dim asked one question. They said, my God, we've never heard that question. This is the first time anybody's ever asked us this question before. And we've been interviewed a million times. Incredible. May he rest. What a way gone too soon. I loved John Feinstein. I thought he was really sharp and incredible. And I hate when I heard that. It was just like, oh, God. Because we sort of knew him, you know. It was really, it was really cool.
And there's way more connection to that, to someone like that.
It was, it was really cool to have him on those times.
It was interesting yesterday. I guess it was Mike Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption, because he and Feinstein worked together at the Washington Post for a time.
Yeah.
And he said, and I hope I get this right, he said Feinstein loved Duke basketball, ACC basketball, college basketball, and golf in that order.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Those were his loves.
He went to Duke. Yeah. And the first time I ever saw him, I was covering the ACC tournament in 95. That was the time
covering.
I said I was the sports
director. You stole the sports
pass. I said I was the sports director here, and they let me cover.
That position does not exist.
Correct.
B.B. Shea.
That's when I ran into...
All you needed back then was a letterhead.
And I had it.
Ask your parents what a letterhead is.
I spoke with CBS reporter Leslie Visser. I was doing a practice. I was at the shoot-around for the Clemson Tigers. And Leslie Visser came over to me and she said, have you seen the Clemson SID? And I said, you better believe I have.
She's all people are talking about. Leslie Visser.
She goes, well, where is he? I need to interview him. And I was like, well.
What?
Well,
he's around here somewhere.
Maybe in the toilet. I don't know.
What? I just one quick question, Leslie. What is an SID?
I didn't know what she. I still don't really know. She's like,
is it a sexually transmitted? Is it sexual? I thought
she's having a thing with a guy from Clemson. I was like, oh.
Somebody from Clemson gave you an STD?
Man, I was reporting that too. They kicked me off the press row because I wore my Tar Heel hat on there. You're not supposed to. You do not
notebook in front of him, not a laptop, not a pen, not a pencil. You were just there for the free ice cream and the front row seat.
You would really appreciate that ice cream. That ice cream was the best I've ever had. At the Coliseum during the 1995 ACC tournament, and it went down to the wire. Wake Forest won it in overtime over North Carolina. But by the time I saw that, it was on TV because I had my hat on. I had my hat on press row on Championship Sunday, and they were like, are you new to this?
You can't do that. Can't.
They said, you are the sports director for the station, right? And I was like, oh, yeah. And they were like, well, then you should know better. Come with me. And the hat was gone. That ice cream was the best I've ever put in my mouth. I don't know where or how they got it, but it's great for reporters. That's why you stay in the game. I shared a cone with John Feinstein once. No, he was back there. He had to have been there. Oh, he was. Yeah. He sparred with Dean Smith. I was in the media room, you know, sitting there while all real reporters were asking questions.
Do I sit in here now?
Yeah, and they
can I bring my ice cream?
And he was asking questions, and he and Dean Smith went back and forth, and Dean Smith was like, "I'd expect a lame question like that. You're from Duke," and they laughed. You know, they thought it was really fun. They were kind of friendly rivals the whole time. He was great to us for sure.